It's time to unleash your inner cowboy with the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Now here's your host, Alyssa Barnes.
Hello and welcome to episode 30 of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa Barnes. Today, my featured guest is FJ Thomas. She's a horsewoman, writer, blogger, barrel racer, and she recently embarked on a new endeavor with Cowgirls with Curves. She's been interviewing cowgirls that don't fit the traditional mold of the cowgirl image about their various struggles, and her goal is to motivate them to accomplish their goals with horses. Now here's FJ Thomas. Well, Frances, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It's great to have you here.
It's good to be here.
Yeah. So, you know, we kind of got connected online and you seem to be dabbling in a whole bunch of different things. So I would love for you to kind of give the audience a rundown on your background and kind of what you're all about.
I live in Tennessee, East Tennessee specifically, and I work full time to pay the mortgage payment in the healthcare industry, writing appeals. But what I'm really passionate about is the horse industry. And I do a little bit of everything. I'm a horse show judge and riding instructor and trainer. I'm also an author and a writer. And I just recently started the Cowgirls with Curves website and blog, which is basically a website and blog that encourages plus size gals that we're kind of under the microscope out there when it comes to our horses. So do a little bit of everything.
Nice. So
it keeps me pretty busy.
And you compete as well with your horses?
I do. Right now, mainly I'm barrel racing.
Okay.
When I get a chance, we do a little bit of cattle sorting. And then I also, I've got really more horses than I've got time, honestly.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of different strong points. So I do a little bit of everything. I show in ranch riding, do some ranch trail halter. I'll still even ride hunter every now and then.
How did you get started with horses?
I just kind of grew up just with that desire and that passion and that draw. It was just something that was already in me that I was attracted to them. And I got my first pony when I was probably 4 or 5 years old. And it just kind of grew from there. When I was about 12 or 13, I wasn't the best student in the world. And my parents sold my pony and said, you got to get your grades up or else, we're not getting you another horse. And that didn't help a whole lot because when I turned 16, my grades weren't the best in the world, but I went to work and the first thing I did was buy a mare and a foal and instead of buying a car. And it just kind of, I've always had horses since then. And so it's just something that I've always been attracted to. And I just kind of went from there. When I turned 16, I had my horse. And then, when I became an adult, the first thing I wanted to do, of course, was try to go, work in the horse industry. And I did that for a few years. Worked on an Arab farm. Well, first a walking horse farm for about a year, not quite a year. And then went to work in the Arab industry for a few years. And then kind of realized you have to have health insurance and a life plan and decided it was time to go get real jobs, but it's just something that I've always been, passionate about and drawn to.
Did your parents have horses at all? Or was that kind of a new thing for them when you got into it?
They had briefly had a farm and just a very, very short period of time. And they had, dabbled in them a little bit prior, to me coming along. But, there wasn't that influence there, really. I don't know where it came from, to be honest with you. Just kind of, that was me.
Yeah. So you were just a little girl that loved horses and talked your parents into a pony.
Yes. And never outgrew it. Ever.
That's interesting. I always am curious to know how people got started and especially people like you who didn't grow up, on a ranch or weren't born into the lifestyle. You chose it rather than it choosing you. So I always find that interesting. And talk a little bit about what you do with your horses now.
I've got my main horse that I ride or spend most of my time focusing on is my barrel horse. And I run NBHA, just local NBHA. We try to do the futurity and derby thing just because that was something I'd wanted to always do. And last year was his last year to run and we didn't get to. So I still run NBHA. And then I've got a couple horses that I've got one mare that I plan on running barrels on. She's 5 this year. And we've done a couple of little like ranch clinics and things like that on her, but I plan on running barrels with her eventually. And then I have a couple horses that I do ranch riding, trail, and some sorting when I get the chance. And I'm not above going and riding hunt seat every now and then too. You know, I just love doing it all, basically.
And do you mostly compete in AQHA and those other events?
Mostly what I do for the ranch trail and stuff, I mostly do around here local, just local stuff. I've done some ARHA shows, would love to do more, but they're in, most of them are in middle Tennessee. And it's hard when you've got a horse farm to pay somebody an extra $200 so you can go show for the weekend. So I really, you know, try to get in my show fix locally a lot of times. I have shown AQHA some. We've got a circuit that runs here almost every month through the summer, and I go there some, although it's expensive. I mean, I ran barrels last year, well, the last 2 years at AQHA, and it cost me over $100 just to go in one class because I had to go and open. So, you know, it's kind of cost prohibitive, you know, when I've got other avenues that I can kind of go get my fix on, you know, locally.
Mm-hmm. And do you give lessons and train horses as well?
I give lessons. It's been a while since I've trained. I do breaking and problem solving and that sort of thing, but I haven't had really the time to commit to, you know, bringing in some training horses. But I do give lessons. I've got a handful of students. I just do it on a small, you know, basis right now, because I want to keep it to where I enjoy it.
Right.
You know, I don't depend on it for a living, so I can kind of be selective and still have fun with it. And I kind of like, you know, I kind of like having it that way. I mean, I'd love to train and give lessons full time. I would love to do that. But on the flip side of that, I'm kind of glad I don't, because my mortgage payment doesn't, you know, depend on that.
Right.
And that kind of eases up the pressure and I can enjoy it a little more.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, I grew up with a horse trainer for a dad, so I know all the ups and downs involved in trying to live off a horse business like that. And interestingly enough, that was not the path I chose for myself after growing up that way. I mean, I love to ride and I've given, you know, some lessons to kids and stuff, and I'm teaching my boyfriend's kids to ride now, but I agree with you. I wouldn't want to, you know, I wouldn't want the joy of me just being able to go out and ride my own horses to kind of dissipate because I had to make a living doing it. So I get that for sure.
Well, and I think, you know, anytime you're training, I mean, I've worked in the horse industry full time when I was younger.
Right.
As an assistant and then breaking horses and stuff. And you are constantly under the microscope, constantly. And then there's a lot of politics involved too.
Oh yeah.
And I don't fare well with that kind of thing, you know? So it's a good thing I'm not in it full time.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I've always said, you know, I want to ride horses full time, but I just want to ride my own.
Yes. There you go. There you go. So. Of course, I don't know if I was running down the alleyway and knew that, you know, if I didn't make this run, I might not make my truck payment. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how I would do under that kind of pressure if I was riding my own.
Well, it's funny. My mom talks about like when my dad and her were first together and they would go to my dad was a big team roper when he was in college and stuff. And they would go to a roping with like 50 cents between the two of them. And he'd have to win the roping so that they could buy gas to go home and dinner and stuff. So it's pretty funny.
I would have a stroke.
Some people perform well under pressure, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Some people do. They really do thrive well under pressure. But and I don't know if I could do that. I really don't.
So talk about Cowgirls with Curves and what that is all about and sort of what inspired you to start it.
Well, I've always struggled with my weight. And being in the horse industry, you know, whether you're showing Western Pleasure or whether you're running barrels, either one, there is kind of an attitude there. I mean, people are more critical of weight in certain disciplines, especially, but in the horse industry, especially, the rest of the world. I mean, you've got, women that are plus size models that are gaining, you know, supermodel status out there that are plus size, which has never happened. And we're not as far ahead in regards to the horse industry, I don't think. And so I've had that struggle. That's something I relate to. And after some conversations on Barrel Horse World and seeing some of the struggles of those girls there that I can definitely relate to, I just decided, you know, to start the blog and the website as a place for these girls that are passionate about horses, that they work hard, they're trying their best, and they've got a goal, they want to pursue that, to kind of give them a place to go to and kind of see that they're not alone and just kind of motivate and help them to maybe have a different attitude about themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, the attitude has been, you know, you need to be healthy, you need to be thin in order to compete and all of this stuff. And we face that out in the rest of the world anyway. And I think sometimes we beat ourselves up a little bit too much on account of that. And I think if we start having a little bit different attitude, and I'm working on this myself, I mean, this is as much of a journey for me as I hope it is for some of these other girls. You know, I think if we kind of look at it a little differently and not focus so much on the weight, but focus on strength and becoming better, stronger riders, that everything else will fall in line. I mean, I've spent, it's kind of like I say on the website, I have spent my whole entire life never being thin enough. You know, even when I was thinner, it was bigger than everybody else. Of course, I worked, you know, like a workhorse. My dad was in the construction business. So, you know, I was wheelbarrowing around, you know, loads of clay and brick and, you know, stuff like that. I was strong, but I was bigger than a lot of the girls that I hung around with. And I always felt like I wasn't small enough. And I've lived my entire life feeling that way. And it's a shame. Life is short. And I'm hoping that maybe, you know, through this, maybe we'll start appreciating ourselves more, appreciating life more, and loving ourselves more, you mm-hmm. know, instead of wasting that time thinking I'm not small enough, you know, and I'm not small enough to ride or compete. I can't do it. You know, maybe we'll start accepting ourselves and loving ourselves as we are, and we can go from there. Mm-hmm. Kind of, I think what really had a big impact on me in starting this is last year, my stepdaughter, who I'm very close to, she was stationed in Hawaii and she had an accident that resulted in her having 50 to 60% brain damage. Mm. One of the things that we have got a common bond in is our animals. And anyway, you know, when you have, she's still in a polytrauma unit now, and is, you know, it's a struggle for all of us. And in having something like that happen, you stop and you think, what is really important? You know, does it really matter what everybody else thinks? You may, and you stop and think too, you know, I may not get that chance to run down that alleyway. And if, when you stop and you look at it like that, you start seeing things a little bit different. Mm-hmm. You know, when you stop and you think of what it must be like to be in her shoes, you know, to wake up one morning and you have no control of your body, you kind of see things a little different. You start to maybe appreciate what you can do at this moment when you start looking at it like that. So it's kind of been a big journey this last year. And I think, you know, and all of that has led to me starting the website, starting the blog. And I hope that my hope is that it makes an impact in other people's lives, and it makes an impact in mine as well. And maybe, you know, you change enough people and get enough, generate enough thought of, you know, thinking and conversations and bringing points up, maybe, you know, there'll be a change in the industry as well. So that's my goal anyway.
Yeah. Wow. That's really interesting. And I agree. I think there is definitely a stigma with, I'm going to say cowgirls, because that's sort of the broad term that most people, especially non-horse people, non-Western people, associate with women riders. And if you, I mean, I have a blog and I'm always looking for stock photography and stuff to use in my blog posts. And if I do a Google image search for cowgirl, have you ever done that before?
But, oh, yes.
It is crazy. Yes, like it's interesting. The pictures that you get, I'm sorry, but when I think of a cowgirl, you know, I think of, you know, I'll just throw Charmaine James out there. Okay. She obviously is somebody that a lot of people look up to as a barrel racer, as, you know, someone who's accomplished a lot in their rodeo career. But when I Google cowgirl, there sure aren't pictures of Charmaine James that come up. You get pictures of girls in these like midriff shirts and Daisy Dukes. Yes. And, you know, it is crazy. It's like the cowgirl is a sex symbol to most of the world rather than really appreciating, you know, her talents as a horsewoman and all of that. It's all about like, I mean, it's crazy to me. I search on another note, if you search cowgirl under Google News search, all the things that come up are the cowgirl position, not anything about like real cow. I mean, it's like crazy to me.
It's crazy. Yeah. And I think some, you know, honestly, I think some of that has drifted over like into the barrel industry as well, because we've gotten kind of the barrel industry has taken a little bit of that on, you know, as far as the, not necessarily the bling so much, but you see more cowgirls that want to be the models and the whole, you know,
right.
And it's like, it's getting more mainstream, but you're right. That is the image that the world has, you know, for cowgirls. And it's a shame because that's so far from what it's really like.
Well, and it makes it hard for women who are just, you know, they're self-conscious about their body image already in general. And then they let it hold them back. You know, they have these goals and desires to compete and do things with their horses, but then, you know, they let something like their weight hold them back because they think that, you know, they don't fit the image that they think they should, or they think that, you know, they can't accomplish their goals because they're too heavy or whatever. And so I think that's great that you're out there encouraging people, because that's what it's all about. You know,
well, and it's like I said, I'm part of the cowgirl lifestyle, as you know, is to be strong, you know, because we may be doing anything from cleaning stalls to throwing hay to, you know, you got a horse that runs off from you and you're having to hang on, you know, you're having to use a lot of strength.
Yes.
And that needs to be, I think, the real focus, you know, and that's what it takes to become a better rider. It's more strength. It's not about the weight. It's the strength. I think as plus size women, you're right. We are, you know, more self-conscious. And, you know, I just would like for women to feel more that are out there riding that have, you know, an issue with, you know, their self-image, you know, that they would feel empowered and feel encouraged to follow those dreams.
Right.
You know, I think that's important.
Yeah. And it gives sort of a community as well of other women who are facing the same sorts of challenges, and maybe, you know, they can form some bonds and relationships that will help them to encourage each other. And even, you know, they're sort of in the same place as far as their fitness is concerned. Maybe they want to do some strength training together or whatever the case may be, but it's much easier, I think, sometimes, to form those relationships with people that you feel are in the same place as you are. So, and what's the feedback been since you started it?
Oh my goodness. It has been amazing. I had first put kind of out a feeler on Barrel Horse World to see, you know, to do interviews, to find some people, you know, that would be interested on giving some feedback. And because one of the things that I want to do with the website too, is to showcase, you know, the everyday woman and some of the struggles that they have, because I think sometimes the tendency tends to be, you know, oh, she's fat, she's not putting in time. That, you know, that's the automatic tendency. And it's like, you know, these women are working hard to raise a family, to keep a roof over their head and take care of a horse, which is, you know, a huge responsibility in itself. And it is tough to find the time, you know, to make, to prepare, you know, your meals and to work out and that sort of thing. And they're, you know, they're doing everything they can do. And I, you know, I wanted to find some women like that and talk to them, because I knew that was, you know, part of the case. And when I put that feeler out there on Barrel Horse World, it was amazing, you know, the response I got back and the people that would be interested in, and, you know, a bunch of women, you know, thank you so much for doing this. You know, somebody's listening, somebody understands. And it's been very rewarding to see, you know, women kind of echo what I already, you know, suspected and already knew, and to know that, you know, hey, they feel recognized for the first time, you know, in regards to that. So the response has been overwhelming, and I'm glad because I think there's an opportunity to make a huge difference. And that's really what it's all about.
That's interesting, because I wondered when I first was reading your blog and looking at your Facebook page and stuff after you started it, I wondered if you would have a hard time finding people that wanted to talk about it, because there's kind of a stigma there. And maybe it's almost like how, you know, nobody wants to like share the number on the scale with anyone. Do you, you know, how many women are really willing to come forward and share their story?
You know, a lot, actually. I've got several more weeks of interviews that I can post.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
And of course, I'm always looking for more. But I've been really pleased, you know, with the response of women that are willing to share and talk about it. And that's just, I mean, the only ones that I've really hit up so far has been the barrel industry. I haven't even, you know, put the word out that much, you know, with other aspects of the horse industry. And I, you know, my goal as I get time is to get out there and kind of, you know, post the same thing on some other, you know, like Horse City and that sort of thing, you know, to put feelers out there, because I really do want to pull in these interviews and have these women share their stories so that we can kind of all connect, you know. So, and I'm like you, you know, on the one hand, you're like, you know, nobody wants to step on the scale, you know, and let the world know. But
right.
I think we've had enough of that. I think we really have had enough of that. And I think women want to be heard and they want to be seen for a change. And that's good, because that, you know, we can all share.
Yeah. And I would think that you would probably find a lot of people in the English writing world as well, because, man, you don't see that many larger women riding, you know, riding jumping horses and in dressage and stuff. I'm sure they're there, but I would think that the stigma would be huge.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And, you know, in times past when, you know, when I was younger and judging and things like that, there was a gal that I knew that was a larger size dressage rider. She had a beautiful seat, had a terrific horse, but, you know, people were not very kind in what they said, you know? And so I'm hoping, you know, like, it's, you know, I've only hit up the barrel world so far, and it's been a huge, you know, response. So I, you know, my goal is to reach out to all aspects, you know, of the horse industry, and I'm sure there's going to be more.
Yeah. What kind of things have you learned through your interviews with people about the challenges they face and some of the struggles?
You know, well, I guess the biggest thing I've learned is that I'm not the only one. You know, I already suspected that, but I'm definitely learning that. And I'm also learning that you can't think, you know, you've got your hands full. There's always somebody else that's got their hands more full than you and is trying with what they've got. You know, that's a big thing that I've learned, because I, you know, I look at my life and I'm thinking, man, I've, you know, I'm running on the hamster wheel here, trying to get everything done. There's no way. And I'm thinking, you know, I need a day stretcher here. And then the next thing you know, I interview somebody and, you know, they've got a bunch of kids and they're, you know, trying to struggle to make ends meet. And it's like, you know, their schedule's even more tighter than, and money's more tight than mine is.
Yeah.
You know, so it makes you stop again, makes you stop and think, you know, how blessed you are. You know, and there's always somebody out there that's struggling with even more than what you're struggling with. And I've learned too that, you know, these women are hardworking. It's not a case of, it's not a case of them sitting on the couch eating bonbons and just being too lazy to get off the couch and go ride their horse or go work out. You know, these girls are hardworking girls, you know, that they've just got a struggle that, you know, that they're trying to go through. And not to get off on the whole issue of where all, you know, the weight thing comes from. But I think it's a whole lot more than just calories in and calories out. I think there's a lot of genetics at work. And I think for some people, it is tougher for some people than it is others. And I think the medical industry, they don't have all the answers to that. And you know, I think it's going to be a while before they do. But I, you know, it's definitely a case, you know, it's not a case of people just playing the victim, you know, and not trying it. These are women that are trying, you know, and they really are. So, you know, that's another thing that I've learned.
What would you say is sort of the collective opinion that other people have about women who are overweight and riding? I mean, basically, equestrians. Do you get feedback from other people that's negative? Or is it sort of just something that you assume as being said behind your back? Or, you know, what is it that really causes that discomfort for people?
You know, and here's, it's been a while since I've really heard a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, you spend 5 minutes on Barrel Horse World and go through some of the thread posts there, and you see real quick, there's still, you know, that attitude of, you know, unless you're, you know, down to race some weight, you're not going to do anything. And I've definitely heard, you know, hateful comments. And I'm one of the, I guess it's the writer in me. I'm always, you know, eavesdropping on conversations. It's one of those things, you know, that I do. And it's amazing when you have that little idiosyncrasy, what you hear, you know. But especially in the barrel industry, you know, it's like the general attitude is, you know, unless you're a certain weight, you're not, you might as well not even think about going and running at a higher level. And here's the thing about it. I watched the BFA this last year and watched some of the classes. And, you know, competition in Oklahoma was tight. And there were girls that were running 1D times. They fell in the crack between 1D and 2D times. But, I mean, it was literally hundredths of a second off of winning times. And they were bigger girls. They were not, you know, the size 2, the size 5, the size 7 even. You know, they were bigger girls. And it's like, you never hear anything about these girls. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I would love to, what I wonder sometimes is maybe the only reason we don't see women of that size going and winning the BFA or going winning the NFR is because nobody's really encouraged them. You know, we have a tendency to think, no, you can't do it. So you just go out there and you do, you know, you settle. Mm-hmm. You don't really stretch and see how far you can go. And, you know, I just wonder, you know, if a girl didn't fit that mold, if she had the right horse under, maybe she could make it.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to see it happen. I'd love to see somebody try. But, and I think, you know, the possibilities there, especially if they feel like they've got somebody behind them and some encouragement.
Right.
You know. But it's, I've heard definitely some, you know, negative conversations.
Yeah. And, you know, people are only going to go as far as they believe that they can. Right. So with, you know, right, with the old 4 minute mile thing, you know, nobody thought that the mile could be run in under 4 minutes. Well, maybe a lot of these women think that they can't run those top 1D times. And so that's why they don't, because they just haven't, they don't have that belief that they can do it.
Right. Right.
That's really interesting. So what are your future plans for Cowgirls with Curves? What are some of the things that you've kind of got in the works?
Well, one of the things that I would like to do, in addition to you know, still posting new interviews every week, is to start kind of like a product review line, you know, for companies that are, you know, that cater to plus size girls. There's one gal that has a saddle company that they've got a saddle in the works that they're working on and they're doing some experimenting with. And one of the things that I'm going to do is do a review on them. But what I would like to do is kind of have, kind of like the interviews, have an ongoing product review page, you know, where girls can come and read reviews of companies that kind of cater and are open to them. You know, we have a hard time finding jeans for under $100 that are plus size. Mm-hmm. You know, Rock and Roll Cowgirl and stuff like that. They may carry them, but I'll be darned if you can't find them. Mm. And really and truly, I've got you know, eight horses. I don't have $100 to drop in a pair of jeans, you know, I want a pair of jeans, $150 that I can afford that's fit. But, and that's, you know, I want to kind of be a resource for them, you know, as well, and kind of review those companies and show what they have to offer, you know, so that we can, you know, we all know where to go to. And just to continue kind of, you know, with the blog and do more interviews of, you know, other people out there that's kind of the same mindset. There's Leah Gilbert from Australia, who has started a body positive blog, and she's a fabulous, fabulous athlete. And one of the things that she does is she kind of highlights plus size athletes. She's a triathlon. And, you know, there's and she's, you know, she doesn't fit the mold, you know, of this leaned, you know, athlete. And I love what she's doing. And so in the future, I would like to kind of interview people like that, you know, that give us some inspiration and some motivation and some things to think about and talk about. And so, you know, I want to do that on the blog as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be really interesting because I would think that being a triathlete, you probably face a lot of the same things as an equestrian who is plus size, because most people are not thinking of a triathlete as being plus size.
Yeah, no, they're not. And she actually, how I found her was an article that was on Yahoo, and started reading about, you know, the movement that she's doing and that sort of thing. And it's really interesting because she does. She faces the exact, you know, same stereotypes in the events that she does that we do. And, you know, it's freeing to see somebody like that and do so well. I mean, she's got sponsorships. She's gaining a lot of momentum. And I'm glad to, you know, I'm really glad to see it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, first of all, where's the best place to find you online? I know you have several different things going on, so I'd love for you to kind of give us a little brief rundown of your books and some of the different places we can find you.
Well, having become a new writer this last year, I've learned everything I can about social media. So I'm everywhere, it seems like. Cowgirls with Curves is on Facebook. I've got a Facebook community page there. And then I'm also on Facebook as an individual author under FJ Thomas. My personal account's on there too is FJ Thomas. My farm account is Fairweather Farm. It's on Facebook. The website is cowgirlsforcurves.com. That's where the blog is. And then off of the Cowgirls for Curves, you can find the links for my other blogs on training and author interviews. And then I'm also on Twitter, FJ Thomas. So if you go to the Cowgirls with Curves website or go to Facebook, either one, you can find me pretty easily.
Perfect. Well, I'll link all those up in the show notes. So anyone that goes to earnyourspurs.com to listen to this podcast episode will be able to find those as well. So shouldn't be too difficult to find you at all. Is there anything else that you would like to add? Do you have any particular interesting stories about anyone that you've interviewed that you want to share?
The interviews are still, you know, they're still coming in. I did get a comment on the website the other day that I thought was pretty interesting, and I'm going to do an interview with this gal for sure. And I just had to laugh because it was comical. One of the things that she said was that she had told her boyfriend that she wanted to at least run in a rodeo at least once in her life, and she wanted to try rodeo. And the first thing he says, well, you first need to lose a good bit of weight. She posted on there that she gave him the finger and let him know that he was going to be an ex. I thought that was pretty sassy. I was like, I have got to interview this girl because she has got the right attitude. But yeah. And I, you know, one of the things, there's a girl that I'm friends with on Facebook, Tiffany Schwank. She breaks colts and that sort of thing. She's a plus size gal, and she is one of the most beautiful gals. There's just a light in her when you look at her. And she, you can tell that she's a true horseman. She loves breaking colts. And, you know, she's somebody that I can relate to. And I just want to say, you know, we have a tendency to see beauty only in a certain size. And you can be a plus size woman and be absolutely gorgeous. And you can be a plus size woman and be one heck of a horseman. and do extremely well. And that's, I really believe that. And I want other women to see that and believe that too.
That's awesome. I love what you're doing, and I hope that it grows and that, you know, you kind of start a new movement for women equestrians that maybe don't fit the preconceived cowgirl mold in the Daisy Dukes and the Bear Midriffs. Yeah. You guys, anybody out there who has never done a Google image search on cowgirl, do it. You will know what I am talking about.
Yes, you will.
Well, before we wrap up here today, I just have one final question for you. And it's the same one I ask to every guest of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. And that is, what do you think is the most important quality for any good cowboy or cowgirl to have?
I think an open mind. You know, I think if you have an open mind, you're always going to give your horse the benefit of the doubt. You're going to give other people the benefit of the doubt. You know, there's two sides to every story, whether it be a horse or whether it be a person. And I think you have to recognize that. So I think having an open mind is one of the most important qualities you can have to be a good horseman. I really do.
Well, our judgments can certainly shoot us in the foot sometimes, can't they? Because if we see a beat up truck and trailer pull into the barrel race or whatever, and we think, oh, well, who's this person? And then they come out and kick our butts. Well, that just taught us a lesson, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you something. It did. And I tell you something. When I have had a closed mind about a horse and think the horse is okay, that's inevitably the time that I've gotten dumped. You know, so, I mean, you know, it's whenever I have had a closed mind, it's led to me getting hurt or have a bad ride or whatever. So, but yeah, you can't have judgments out there. Preconceived judgments. I think you do pay for it, whether it's in the arena competing or hitting the dirt.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
No, you don't.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. I really enjoyed talking with you, and I wish you all the best with all of your endeavors.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with FJ Thomas. I always love to hear from people who are inspiring others within the Western lifestyle space to go after their dreams. And that is definitely what she is doing. So if you can relate to her message at all, I would encourage you to check out FJ Thomas's website at cowgirlswithcurves.com. Thank you all for listening in on this episode of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. I appreciate you so much, and I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Until next time, happy trails and spur on.